Live from Earth, it's Space Radio. This is Paul Sutter, and coming up, we're talking about the sun is really, really, really hot and in an especially interesting way. And if I have time, another cute baby planet, this time with pictures. It's so adorable. And of course, taking listener questions about all things in the universe, because that's what this show is about. We record every Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern. So call 888-581-0708 to join the conversation. And in today's Blue Shift, I'll be talking about astro tours around the world. And you don't even have to go far from home. But first, the news. Hello, space fans. Welcome to Space Radio. I'm Paul Sutter, astrophysicist at Ohio State, chief scientist at COSI. For the next half hour, your agent to the stars. Got an exciting show for you today on Space Radio, where we talk about all the good stuff above the Earth's atmosphere. This show lives on listener questions. We record every Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern here in Studio A of WCB Radio Columbus. Just call 888-581-0708. Get those calls in. You can also follow along on our live streams on YouTube and Twitch. Go to spaceradioshow.com for the links. We'll take questions there. Hello to all the space cadets tuning in live right now from Austin, Texas, Florence, Massachusetts, Seattle, Washington, Germany, UK, Wales, California, SLC, and New Jersey, and of course, many more places. Get those questions in and I will answer them, and we're going to have an amazing time. I swear it. Before I start taking questions, though, I did want to share some cool bits of news I caught, and this news comes to us courtesy of research at the one and only Ohio State University Astronomy Department and Center for Cosmology and Astroparticle Physics. These people may or may not be my bosses. Now, this is really cool research. Some of the cool research that's done at Ohio State Astronomy is studying the highest energy radiation in the universe. Some of the most extremely energetic particles in radiation you can find. And some of those particles come from our own sun. Yes, our sun emits radiation of all sorts, mostly visible, because you can see it. A lot of infrared, you can feel that one. It's also very loud in radio, in microwave, and a little bit loud in X-rays, and a little bit loud in what are called gamma rays, the highest form of radiation there is. You basically don't want to be around gamma rays. It's bad news all the time. So our sun generates gamma rays, and sometimes it generates extremely powerful gamma rays. And when it does so, we're not exactly sure why. So we know that the sun goes through cycles, this 11-year sunspot cycle of there's a bunch of sunspots and then not so many, and then a bunch and then not so many. When there's a lot of sunspots, there's also a lot of solar activity. There's a lot of flares and coronal mass ejections. It's very violent. It's very messy. And then it calms down. It quiets down for a few years, and then it ramps back up again and then calms down again. And you would think naively that when the sun is most energetic, that's when it's going to spit out the highest energy particles. But nature teaches us one thing, is that naivete is always the wrong approach. No, the sun spits out the highest energy gamma rays when it's at its minimum, when it's quiet. So researchers Tim Linden, John Beacom, a bunch of others over at OSU Astronomy studied gamma ray emissions coming from the sun going back a past decade, because you have to look at this 11-year sunspot cycle to look for any trends. And when the sun was most energetic, peak of the sunspot cycle, there were zero of the absolute highest energy cosmic rays. None of them, none at all. And then when the sun was at its minimum, we saw eight cosmic rays, which is eight more than zero. So there appears to be a very interesting correlation. And those are the highest energy gamma rays. When you go down to softer gamma rays, which are still incredibly energetic, but compared to the most energetic ones, they're not quite so energetic. I'm using the word energetic a lot. That's okay. there's this weird anti-correlation that when the sun is quiet, it's spitting out high energy radiation. And then when the sun is active, it's not spitting out high energy radiation. We don't fully understand the connection. There's another interesting connection where these gamma rays appear to be coming from the equator, from the belt of the sun, and not like the northern or southern hemisphere of the sun. We basically have no idea what's going on there either. So the sun, I love this. I love talking about the sun because it's in our backyard. We're all familiar with it, but it's still a fantastic mystery. Thankfully, some very smart people at The Ohio State University are on the case. That's the latest and greatest. It's time to have a conversation. I've had tons of questions already from the space cadets watching the live stream, and I don't even know where to start. I know last week we talked about the Drake equation and how I think it's basically nonsense. Someday I should have a guest on, like maybe Frank Drake. I should have him on so we can have a nice little chat debate about that. But as a follow-up, Optimus Grandkill, not exactly sure on that name, but there you are. You do you. Ask just a basic question. Are we alone? Because this is the essence of all of our wonderings about life in the universe, is that if life happened here on little old Earth, then it most likely happened elsewhere, because we shouldn't be that special to be the only ones in the universe. Like, nothing in the universe happens just once. It's a kind of a large place. And if it happens one place, it's going to happen elsewhere. But if it happens elsewhere, where is everybody? The lights are on in the sky, but it appears that nobody's home. So what's going on with that? I think that what's going on is that, no, we're not alone. There's definitely other life. There might even be life in our own solar system. Definitely not intelligent life. But there's probably other intelligent species going on right now in our galaxy. Certainly in the universe, in the 2 trillion galaxies in the observable universe, there's someone else hosting radio shows and talking about the mysteries of space-time and all that. But the vast, vast, capital V-A-S-T, vast distances in both space and time that we need to consider when talking about extrasolar scales prevents us from basically ever talking to them. They're out there, but we're never going to see them. They're talking, but we're never going to hear them. They're waving their arms. They're doing all their intelligent species things, but we're basically not going to know about, because we are separated from them by incredible distances in both space and time. And I think a true appreciation of interstellar scales is required to put us in the right frame of mind to answer this question. It only appears that we're alone because we are so incredibly isolated from every other star in the galaxy. Even our nearest neighbor star is like 4 light years away. And that doesn't sound like a lot, but that is really far. It would take our fastest space probes, tens of thousands of years to travel that distance. And we've only been looking for intelligent species for like, what, 5 decades? 50 years on a galactic or cosmological timescale is like nothing. It's like a blink of an eye. You're not going to have a cosmological conversation over the course of 50 years. Now, we are hunting for life. We are searching for life on other planets, on other worlds. We hope to find it. We can find evidence for life, like if we find a lot of oxygen in an atmosphere around a planet outside the solar system. There's not a lot of ways to get a lot of oxygen in an atmosphere around a planet and around another solar system. So that's a sign that there's probably life, at least microbial life. There's some photosynthesis action happening on that surface. That's probably the limit of what we're going to know. We're not going to know if it's intelligent, or if we can talk to it, or if we can trade cheese making secrets with them. I'm sure alien cheese tastes delicious and weird at the same time. We're probably not going to experience it. We will know probably within the century where life is located in our galaxy, and that's probably going to be the limit of our knowledge. That's my own personal stance based on how my understanding of physics and knowledge of space and time. Other scientists disagree with me, and that's great, and that's wonderful. They're wrong, I mean, of course, but it's fine for them to disagree, and in that debate, that conversation is part of the wonderful exploration that is science. I'll see you after the break.
Hi, it's Ray from Car Talk. A lot of people have an old car they'd love to get rid of, but get this. One generous WCBE fan donated a 1941 Plymouth Special Deluxe. Somehow, it managed to slip through my claws, and I'm ashamed of myself for that. But it generated cash for the station. That old car has been turned into Morning Edition, All Things Considered, and more. Good work, Ohioans. Keep those cars coming.
Find out more by clicking on the Support WCBE tab at WCBE.org.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm Paul Sutter, and this is Space Radio. We've got more Space Cadet questions ready to go. But remember, you can join the conversation by calling 888-581-0708 or by following the live streams on YouTube and Twitch. Go to spaceradioshow.com for the links. And I have a very cool announcement because I know we record the show 4 p.m. Eastern on a Thursday. Some of you might be working or living your life or living in a different country or otherwise engaged, and you can't actually call in when we do the recording of the show. So, thanks to the wonders of technology, you can leave a voicemail. We're doing an experiment here. You can call that number. That's 888-581-0708 anytime. You could even do it right now. I am not even kidding. Call 888-581-0708. Call, leave a message. Please make it a short message. And then asking your question, suggesting your topic. And what we're going to do is I'm not going to see these in advance. Greg will screen them and he will play them during this show recording. I will listen to it for the first time. The same time you hear it is the same time I hear it, and I will answer it as if it were a listener question. So we're time shifting the listener questions a little bit so we can get some more voices in, so we can get some interesting perspectives. I love the Space Cadets, but I also love hearing voices. So call 888-581-0708 anytime, even midnight. A robot will answer, and robots don't sleep. Now, that's the 888-581-0708. Now, speaking of Space Cadets, lots of questions. Mr. E-Dude of the Earth asks, how much has the universe expanded since its birth? Right, the universe is large right now. Our observable pocket of the universe is about 90 billion light years across. So give you some perspective, the distance to the nearest star is 4 light years. The width of the Milky Way galaxy is about 100,000 light years. The width of the observable universe is about 90 billion light years. And a long time ago, we live in an expanding universe. A long time ago, our universe was smaller. Ain't so big back in the day. You wind the clock back billions and billions of years, the universe gets smaller and smaller. The distances between galaxies shrinks. So when the universe was just 300,000 years old, it was about a million times smaller in volume, 1,000 times smaller in distance. Wind the clock back about 13.8 billion years ago, our entire observable universe was the size of a peach. Or pick your favorite fruit that is approximately peach size and at a temperature of over a quadrillion degrees. Stretch it back even further. Push that clock backwards. The universe is the size of a golf ball. The universe is the size of an atomic nucleus. The universe is the size of an electron. The universe gets smaller and smaller the further back you go. Now, in the standard picture of the Big Bang, which comes to us from the general theory of relativity. This is our mathematical understanding of the history of the universe. At some point, the universe is infinitely small, which we know is an incorrect answer. That is what we call a singularity. Singularities don't exist. And remember, you can't spell singularity without the word sin. So you know you're doing something wrong if you encounter a singularity. We know that's wrong. We don't have a complete picture of the earliest moments of the universe. We know it wasn't infinitely small. We just know it was incredibly small. but not infinitely so. We need a better understanding of gravity. We need a better understanding of the fundamental forces of nature in order to understand that earliest moment. But since then, the universe has gotten bigger, in that the bigger it gets, the more understanding we can have of it. So basically, ever since the universe, the observable universe, was the size of around a golf ball, maybe an almond if you really want to push it, to the size it is now, 90 billion light years across, we have a pretty good handle on it. And as a follow-up question I got from the space cadets, you know, where is that point? Like, if the universe used to be smaller, where was it? Like, can I point in the direction of the sky to where the universe was when it's smaller? Check this out, the Big Bang. I can point on the sky and show you where the Big Bang was. That direction is all points on the sky. The Big Bang happened everywhere in the universe simultaneously. The Big Bang is not a point in space. The Big Bang is a point in time. The entire universe used to be smaller. The entire universe has expanded over the course of the past 13.8 billion years. The whole thing, that includes right here. That includes right over there where you are. The Big Bang happened right under your feet. The Big Bang happened right over my head. The Big Bang happened in the vicinity of the Milky Way, the vicinity of Andromeda, the vicinity of the most distant galaxy that we can observe. The Big Bang happened everywhere simultaneously. It was a common point in time in our past. It was not a common point in space. The universe expands everywhere simultaneously. I know that's kind of hard to wrap your head around. The universe has no edge. It has no center. The Big Bang is not a point in space. It's fun to say. It's hard to think about. But that, again, is part of the fun of astronomy and cosmology. Totally switching gears with my last couple minutes. SAHM asks about Mercury. Good old Mercury, right? Closest planet to the sun, fastest planet. Kind of a big, dumb rock. Not a lot of interesting things happen. I mean, it has a weak magnetic field, which is odd, and something we need to understand. It's a very thin atmosphere, which is also odd. And asking, one side of Mercury faces the sun and is blazing hot. One side of the planet Mercury does not face the sun and is blazing cold. The opposite of blazing, freezing cold. Is there a place like on the Terminator, that line where there's sunset and sunrise, where it's like kind of nice, where, you know, maybe we could build something and be all right? Not quite. I wish. Mercury doesn't always show the same face to our sun. You think it would. You know, our moon faces, only keeps one face towards the planet. This is an effect called tidal locking, where a smaller object in orbit around a bigger object ends up showing the same face to it. So you would think that in these 4.5 billion years that Mercury has been dancing around the sun, it would end up showing the same face. But there is something else in the solar system. There is Jupiter. Jupiter is pretty big. Jupiter is big enough to influence the motions of even the innermost planets. And because of a constant gentle tug from Jupiter, Mercury is forced to rotate just a little bit. It rotates super slowly, something like 3 rotations for every 2 years, something like that, if I'm remembering the ratios right. So Mercury does rotate a little bit due to some gentle gravitational whisperings from the giant planet of Jupiter. And so it ends up not always facing the sun. So you could build a colony on the Terminator line on Mercury right at sunset, permanent sunset, and you're good for like 6 months. And then you're either in the blazing heat or the anti-blazing cold, and you have to move your colony. So Mercury, sorry, doesn't look like we'll be building any space colonies on you anytime soon. We're almost out of time today on Space Radio, but before we go, it's time for the Blue Shift. I'm Paul Sutter, and you're listening to Space Radio, and this is the Blue Shift, my opportunity to get a little bit closer to you. And AstroTours, you know, AstroTours is like my business. It's my thing where I match awesome destination, like bucket list destinations, to amazing science storytellers, great personalities, great, knowledgeable, entertaining people. And I put them together with you so that you can go somewhere amazing. And I try not to talk about Astro Tours every single episode, but I can't resist this time because we have a lot of tours operating right now, or that we're taking bookings for right now. One of them is for Iceland. I led a trip to Iceland. Iceland is absolutely magical. One of my favorite places to go. Next January of 2019, Ethan Siegel. He's been on, I've interviewed with him on my YouTube channel. I've got to get him on this radio show sometime. Amazing guy. Amazing beard, too. If you're a fan of beards, you need to check out Ethan Siegel. Writer, blogger, starts with a bang, author of a few books. Great guy, leading a trip to Iceland. Those reservations are closing soon, and they're almost out of space, so go to astrotours.co for the link to Iceland. Ireland, we're leading a trip to Ireland. Dean Regas, host of The Stargazers on PBS, based out of the Cincinnati Observatory, is leading a trip to Ireland. There's an amazing dark sky park in Ireland. There's some classical observatories. Amazing place. And if you like dinosaurs, and who doesn't, we have a fossil trek to Colorado and Utah, led by the amazing science communicator Sarah El-Shafi. That is going to be in June of 2019. So you need to go to astrotours.co. We are taking bookings for all of those. Just reservations. You just need a couple hundred bucks down per person to hold your spot. And then you can worry about the rest of the money later. That's astrotours.co for links to all that. I encourage you to go do that right now as soon as you leave a voicemail. But if you can't do that, that's fine. If you are a fan of food, though, and you're a fan of science, then you need to go to the Cosmic Cookout, which is hosted at the John Glenn Astronomy Park. It's WCBE party featuring me because I was the only astrophysicist that they could afford, and I guess I host a radio show for them for WCBE. That's WCBE Cosmic Cookout. It's Friday, July 13th. Go to WCBE.org. There's links there where you can sign up. There is food. There is me talking about science. There is stargazing at the John Glenn Astronomy Park. There are telescopes. There is even more food. There's a lot of food. You can get your tickets at WCBE.org. That's Friday, July 13th for anyone in the Central Ohio area. Or if you want to fly in, I will not judge you. And unfortunately, this broadcast is almost done. Thank you for joining me on this voyage of space radio. Once again, I'm Paul Sutter, and this show is brought to you by the Ohio State University Department of Astronomy. Learn more at astronomy.osu.edu. It's also brought to you by you. Go to patreon.com/pmsutter to learn how you can contribute. Keep this show on the air. Thanks to Greg Mobius for producing, Dan Michalko for being awesome, and all the fine crew at WCBE Radio for making this show possible. We record every Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern. Call 888-581-0708 anytime to leave a voicemail or join me on the air. You can also join the other Space Cadets on the Twitch and YouTube live streams. Go to spaceradioshow.com for the links. You can also follow me on social media. My handle is at Paul Matt Sutter on all social media channels. And of course, thanks again, Earthlings, for listening. See you next week. And remember, science is for sharing. End of transmission.